Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this servant of yours is so determined to come here and speak to us, Lord. And we ask your blessing upon her. We thank you for her faithfulness to you and to us, Lord God. And Lord, we pray that you'll speak through her this afternoon. Give her the strength and courage that she needs to speak forth the word that you have for her to give us. And Lord, we just pray for continued healing in every part of her body, Lord, from the top of her head to the tip of her toe. We pray for complete and total healing. And Lord, we affirm and proclaim today, you are the Lord who heals. And we say that in Jesus' precious name. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Hey, good afternoon, ladies. It's a blessing to be here and yeah, like Linda said, last weekend I did get at a hospital and I'd been in there for four days and it was respite care because I'd had enough of being with myself and my husband, who's my caregiver at the moment at home. I was at the end of my tether. Anyway, bless you all, lovely ladies. It's good to see you. And as you can see, I too love colour, okay? So it's colour me beautiful. So thank you for your testimony and thank you for dressing up today the way you did. It put a smile on my doll. Okay, so I'm going to be sharing the Word of God today. I'm also a passionate sharer of God's Word. I love God's Word. When I was 21 years old, I was in Scotland with my husband, and we were brought up in the Word of God, brought up in Rhema. So it was all the Word, the Word, the Word. And I now know that probably in my first 10, 20 years, I was too much energetic with that because I didn't have life experience behind me. You know, the Bible says that we're written epistles, written love letters. We're written epistles and we're read and known by all men. Amen? So not only people are reading you, you know, we should be representing Jesus. And the reason why I was still adamant I was coming here today, because I said, God, you are not an Indian giver. You do not give something out and take it back. Amen? And so we knew about this invitation a year ago, and I was standing on the Word of God. The Bible says, having done all that you can do, you stand and you keep standing. Now, I love quoting that and I love preaching that, and that's all very goody two-shoes, and then smack, it's right up on your face. The book of James says, let not many of you become teachers because you receive a stricter judgment. And that stricter judgment is that you have got to be a doer of the word. Now, that's a tough one, especially when you're used to exhorting people. It's going to be great. God's great. You know, the sky is blue and the sun is shining and the birds are chirping. And you're feeling good. That's all very good doing that. But you've got to take that medicine yourself. And it's really hard to take when you're going through pain. Amen? So I'll just introduce myself for a few minutes so we can connect. Okay, so I'm Tracy, and I was brought up in Whakatane up until the age of 21. I've got a Scottish dad, and I've got an Australian mother. So at 21 years old, I immigrated to Scotland. I was looking for Jesus, right, in my heart. But the Lord was leading me, so I went over there with my dad to meet the clan, and I was still looking for Jesus. So my divine appointment was in Switzerland in a department store with a London missionary based in Switzerland in his 70s. Amen? So never give up on your children. My dad gave his life to Jesus when he was 14, and he made me go to church and he made me go to youth group, and I was spitting tacks sometimes because I didn't care, but I was under his home. All right? So never give up on your children, and don't imagine or think how the Lord's going to meet them, save them, or whatever. Okay? It'll be an opportunity that you never imagined or thought of, all right? So my divine appointment was in Switzerland. How beautiful. It's like a romantic Cinderella story. And when I met him, I gave my life to Christ in this London missionary's home with him and his beautiful wife. And I went back home to Scotland where I was establishing a new life. And I told my dad, he didn't believe me after all those years of preaching to me. He thought I'd got into a cult. You know, because it was way beyond, more than he could imagine or think, and God did not use him to save me because he is Abba Father. He's my daddy. And so he took me to a church meeting, and I walked into that church meeting. This was one night after getting back. There was a special ministry, a gift in our church. I walked in, and I knew I was home. Amen. I had a nest. In the body of Christ, there is a nest for every person. And it may be the Baptist church, it may be Presbyterian church, you know, it could be the rock and rollers down the road, you know, Presbyterian, you know, the ones that are just yahoo, let's go, praise the Lord, and that's me, all right? So that was my home. And I stayed there, and there was my husband Danny, who's preaching next door, and he's Scottish and he's loud. And I can hear him now. And he's on fire for God. He's sold out for God. Amen. We're both sold out for Jesus, you know. And that was tested in our marriage. We've been together 30 years, and the Lord supernaturally brought us together, but that's not for this time to tell you that. But he brought us together, and so when the rubber hit the road, the Holy Spirit's whispering in our ears saying, I brought you together. That was your rhema. And so we've stayed together. And we're strong in our marriage and strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Amen. Okay, and so we've got 26-year-old daughter. She's in Australia, but she came over to be with me so I can be at the conference. Now, I look at it like they're not backslidden. They're just not talking to Jesus at the moment, all right? You know, haven't you done that some days? I'm not talking to you right now. So this has gone on for a little bit longer than that, okay? It's gone on for a few years, but they're brought up in the Word of God. They're brought up in the love of God. So, you know, his Word doesn't return void. Amen? They're in the palm of his hands. And one day in the Lord's eyes, it's like a thousand years. You know, how many times has the Lord said to you something like, soon? And you go, who's soon? Your soon or my soon? Don't kid me on. We've known each other for a little while now. So when someone says to me, soon from the Lord, I never jump up and down now. Because I realize it could be anyone soon, you know. Okay, and so she's here with me and enjoying the time, just resting and enjoying her own self. But she's been in Australia with her partner. I hate that word, all right. I like the word engaged. I like the word married. But I don't like the word partner. But I don't have to talk to my daughter or preach to her. She's heard it all before. I have to be Jesus to my daughter, okay? And I am that to my daughter, and I've still got a relationship with my daughter. That's the secret to renewing relationships, is to love them and to be Jesus. Amen? The Holy Spirit can speak louder than you, and he does. And haven't you been in someone's company when they're full of Christ, and they just be Christ, and you just receive so much from that company? Amen? Okay, so bring you up to date here. I'm still living in Whakatane with my husband. The kids are independent. Thank God for that. Yay. Thank God for that. And I am weaned, totally weaned, like what kids? And I look at the photo album now and I say, who are those? They're my kids. Anyway, and I look at my kids and think, okay, bit of a bridge between how we brought you up and how you are now, but that's okay. I agape love you children. You know, I went through the 10 years where, you know, I felt like I wanted to shoot them both. All right? It's been true. Those are feelings. But then we trip into agape love. 1 Corinthians 13. Love takes no account of evil done unto it. Keeps no record of a suffered wrong. And we have no right to be familiar with our spouse or our children or our loved ones. We have to, as much as we can, in all situations, say, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus say? And to be like Jesus. Now, the rubber's really hit the road recently because I've been experiencing pain and I'm a one-armed bandit. I've got, like, medical edema, a swelling in the left arm, etc. And I've been a little bit short, okay? So they have to be like Jesus to me at this moment. They have to be tolerant. And they have to realize the issues I'm going through. All right. So I will tell you, and then that's it. So last year in June, I was diagnosed, medical report. You've got lymphedema, which is cancer of the limbs. All right, stage 2. I'm sitting smiling. I was smiling at the audiologist. Okay, yeah, right, yeah, yeah. Chemo is the way. No, chemo is not the way. I'm sorry. I know the way. And I'm not taking your drugs. Totally anti-drug person. And I I worked in a medical receptionist about 5 years ago, for 4.5 years, and I thought, these people are just drug addicts, and the doctors are like their pastors. That's what they're coming in here for. You know, I just could see one drug and then you need another drug to offset and then another drug and then another drug and then another drug. You know, and anyway, now I have much more compassion. Because when you need the drugs for pain, give me the drugs. Okay, so I'm much more understanding. I thought, oh God, how much more understanding do you want me to get? How long is this road, Jesus? And I just kept getting trust in me, trust in me, trust in me. And that was all very good when there was no pain. And then the pain hit. But I got a rhema from God. That's a spoken word, an intimate God. Intimate word from him to me that I had to stand on. And it came in September. And the Lord said to me, he said, you're going to wake up one morning and suddenly all of this is going to be gone, totally over, gone, eradicated. And then my husband got the same word in March. We had some prayer time and he'd forgotten about the word I got. And I said, what did the Holy Spirit say? Because I'm always interested in what the Holy Spirit says. I actually don't know. I don't know or care about other people's opinions because they drop to the ground. I want to know what's the Holy Spirit saying. And he said to my husband, he was sitting there in the recliner, and he said, Tracy's going to wake up one morning and suddenly all of these symptoms are going to be gone. Amen? And then a girlfriend of ours, that we don't often see this couple, they're not in our church at the moment, they're in another church, but they're friends, lifelong friends. We went to their place, and so they haven't been around me much through the journey. And she's sitting there, and she shared that night that the Lord spoke to her, Tracy's going to wake up suddenly one day, and all these symptoms are going to be gone. And the reason why, you know, like the Lord says that we're created in his sight. We're beautiful. We're all God's beautiful children, beautiful daughters of the Most High God. And that we're going to, he's coming for a bride that's without spot and without blemish. Amen? So the reason why I wear scarves all the time, I have done since some surgery I had, is because I've got a little ugly spot that needs to be hidden by the scarf. And who's little? God's little, all right? Okay, so anyway, she saw me just taking my scarf off, a red scarf off, and revealing it and showing off to the glory of God, amen? So that's my rhema, and I'm not moved by how I feel or what I see or got to go through to the hospital and have respite care and, you know, I'm not moved by all of that, but I'm going through that. That's my narrow path that I'm going through. Because we're teachers of faith, and faith is the hard root. Amen? Faith is, it's easy to say it and preach it, but when you're needing to be a doer of that word, wow, that's hard, isn't it? And because you're a teacher too, people expect you, you know, they expect you to just be their rock. You know, you minister to a lot of people, and there's people that put demands on us. And there's people, you know how Jesus, in the crowd, someone touched him. They touched the hem of his garment. And because we love Jesus, people like to come around and be around us just to touch us and to receive a touch from Jesus. Amen? So I've had to kind of hide myself away a little bit and haven't been to church for a couple of weeks just because I was incapable. Okay? Can I just get a drink, Linda? And that's not because I'm nervous, because I could talk all day, all right? I was trained to talk. I used to get on detention at school for talking. So that was a hint, wasn't it? I did customer service all my life. Linda, what's the time? How long have I got? Loads of time. Okay, well, we're here for the evening. All right, so just in case you wonder why I needed a drink. Okay, so here we go. Faith and patience inherit the promises of God. I loved that scripture until I had to really do it. And I'm doing it right now, okay? So faith and patience inherit the promises of God. You know, you don't judge a car by having a look at it when it's come into having a tyre blowout, do you? So say you're coming along the road and you see this beautiful Mercedes car, or like, because I love vintage clothes, I love vintage cars too, and it's your favourite colour, and you look at it and it's got a blowout. It needs the tyre changed. But you don't judge it by that, do you? You know that you can change that tyre and that car will be on the road very shortly and get up to speed once again in a quick manner. Amen? Amen. So with all of us, when we're going through challenges, we cannot be judged by our little blowouts in life that we're going through, all right? The blowouts are innumerable. They could be to ourselves. They could be to our children. They could be to our children's children. They could be in our place of work. They can be in our financial situation. You know, we just have to trust God in these situations. Hebrews 6:10-14 says, "For God is not unjust to forget your labor of love, which you have shown towards his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. But we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish or weary, but you imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises of God." Okay, so we're all standing in some area on the promises of the Lord, amen? And if we've given up in some areas, we can get around people of like faith. We need to get around people who are on fire for God, who can lend that helping hand and pull us up, amen? We need pulled up. My sweetheart has shared that testimony. She needed pulled up, and I know what it's like when, you know, if you're on fight or flight, or, you know, if you've just been in that standing mode that you're just standing and surviving. It takes a while to recover. And so whatever we believe in God for, if we have kind of given up in our heart, we need to get a repump. Amen. We need like that bicycle tire pump. We need pumped back up with faith. Okay? Now we're all standing on these promises, whether they're promises of the word or promises we receive personally from him. Like my promise I got. Amen. And so I coupled that promise about waking up suddenly, and I pray every morning, "Thank you, God, I'm going to wake up in the morning, suddenly going to be gone." And I don't know if anyone's seen Groundhog Day. Groundhog Day, you know, and the gentleman wakes up every morning and the alarm clock goes and it's the same day as it was yesterday. And he's just got to go through the day and improve things in his life, okay? So I'm actually going through a midlife overhaul, all right? I'm actually going through, you know, those best Ferrari cars, all of the cars on the racetrack. I don't know much about racing or any sports really, but they all need a pit stop. They all need pulled in to get all their tyres checked or changed or whatever needs pulled in, all right? So all of them, even the best ones, need to get pulled in. We all have to have a midlife turnover, all right? Especially us ladies, we know about that. You know, who knows about menopause? Help us, Jesus. So this was all coupled with menopause too. You know, the reason why I went to the doctor was because I had migraines and I never had them in my life. And then I said, "Oh, by the way, this lump, you know, which had come out of having a whole lot of amalgam of fillings done and having a root canal pulled out." And I said, "Oh, by the way, this lump, what's this? Oh, have you got any other lumps?" You know, because some of those doctors, they, like, especially ladies, they can be bordering on a bit of fear when they have to deal with that. I swapped to a male doctor. No emotion. Zombified, sitting in front of you. "Right, I want you to take this tablet." Great. I love it, but it's actually better off because I had two, you know, my first original doctor, she's lovely. I changed to her because I used to work with her. I changed her. She was crying in my office. Now, she goes to the Catholic Church. Okay, and she loved me with all her heart. She knew I was a believer. And I said, "No, the Lord said, no, I'm not getting chemo." I asked him. You know, I wasn't being arrogant or rude, you know. I asked the Holy Spirit, "Chemo route? No. you know, appreciate Darlene. She took the chemo route. That's lovely. I'm not Darlene. We're individuals. And we have to ask the Holy Spirit, what is our medicine? What route? So I went totally into the organic route and juicing carrots and everything was organic, you know, and chemicals out the house, getting shower filters and getting organic products and all sorts of wonderful things we did and spent money along the way. I feel like the woman with the issue of blood spending all that money. And then finally we touched Jesus. What was all that about? You know, I could have saved my money. But we were very blessed. We were blessed with $20,000 anyway from a personal friend that she owns a business in Auckland and money just falls out the back of her pocket. So that was a blessing from her to sustain me because I stopped work. Yeah, but anyway, we do. We need that, you know, for he's a jolly good fellow friend around us. We need someone to buoy us up. We need someone to help us. And that was another thing. I was a very independent woman. How many other women in this building are independent women? Yeah, we know it. And the Lord say, you need to let me love you. I am. You know, I am. No, people on earth are me representing me. You need to let people love you on my behalf. So that was a hard thing. Anyway, back to this darling doctor. So she was crying. She says, maybe God sent you to me to tell you to get chemo. No, he didn't, darling. He didn't. You need to pray. And so she was crying. She says, you're such a strong woman of faith. So I'm witnessing everywhere I go, you know. All the specialists, no. There is one way, and that is Jesus. Amen? He is the way, the truth, and the life. And he knows my faith. And he knows the level of faith I can be tested in. And I think, God, I feel like I'm a rubber band about to break, Lord. Where are you? You know, I've had conversations with Daddy God that have been really honest. You know, what is going on here? But like the psalmist David, you know, you do your complaining in my distress, I called upon the Lord. But then you have to praise God. You've got to praise God, for he is the great I am. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He knew me before I was in my mother's womb. He has come through before for myself and my husband, and he will do it again. Amen? That's the confession of my faith. And the reason why my voice is weak because I'm on these silly drugs, all right? Silly drugs that have taken a bit of my energy, all right? So that's not normally my voice. Just like, listen to husband, listen. All right, so we can go up a level in our voice, but today, thank you, God. He says, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And so he's getting all the glory today because he actually got me strength to get out of bed. Who's felt sick this week but still came? Anyone? Have you felt sick but you still came? Well, that was me this week. I felt sick. In fact, there were manifestations of sickness. It's called vomiting. But I said, no, I'm going. Monday, Danny's looking at me. Are you going? I'm going. Who's that speaking? It's a new creation reality. That's the spirit man speaking. I'm going, and body and soul, you are coming with me. Amen? Have you ever had to do that some days to drag yourself out to get to church? We are going. You know, he's Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and he made us triune, spirit, soul, and body. And some days what we do is I'm going. And as an act of our will, we do what all women do. We put our best foot forward. We put makeup on our face. And we put our new clothes on. And we go. So that's me this morning. Amen. That's how I am this morning. Okay, so remember that faith is a trust in the one who has promised you something. For example, our son Daniel, a few months ago, we asked him to paint our office. Now, he's a painter to trade. And he's just lovely. He's just got a slow nature and gentle and kind. And he'll do things, you know, when he gets around to it. He's 23 years old. And so Daniel was promised to paint our office. Now, I had to then go into our love relationship, all right? So I know my son, he loves me, and he wanted to do it. But the question was when, all right? So I had to believe that the love relationship that I have with my son would empower me to trust him and wait patiently for the promise to come to pass of getting our office painted. Now, this is not necessarily the next week after we ask them to do it, is it? No. And so we don't put our trust in people that we don't know. But I did know my son. And it's all about relationship. So I knew my son, you know, and after weeks or a couple of months, I thought he'd forgotten. I said, I'm not going to nag him. He's either going to remember and do it or not at all forget it, all right? I'm too old in the tooth for this nagging your children. It's over. But suddenly after a couple of months, he just turned up one night after his work, you know, works hard 6 days a week, painted the office, went, and it was done. Amen? And that's what it's like with Abba Father. We have to get to know him to trust him. And that's the main core. It's relational. It's not quoting empty scriptures. It's about getting to know the Lord. Amen? And know him deeply. And just like a pearl of great price, they're not found on the top of the ocean floating around saying, come and get me. They're found deep in the ocean. And the pearl of great price is going through a whole lot of sanding to come out looking glorious. Amen? So there's a whole lot of sanding getting done in my life right now. And I imagine in your lives as well. To become that pearl of great price. And just like gold and diamonds, they're not on the surface for all to go and get. They're like wisdom, they're deep, they're hidden treasures. Hidden treasures. And so when we're being perfected, we're not being perfected on a, you know, having a sabbatical in Hawaii for 6 months, putting our feet up and enjoying life. We're not necessarily getting worked on then because everything's going great. We get worked on in life through crises, okay? When we hit a bump in the road and we've got to be pulled off the road and have a pit stop, during that crisis, the Lord is working on our character, amen? So I have had all pride spat out of me. There is no pride in me at all. I have been so humbled. I've had to say, yes, I need your help, friends. Yes, please do my housework. It was 2 months ago, no, I don't need any help. Because my pain, there was no pain then. I say, okay, please help me. And it's so good. It's so good to be humbled by the Lord. Because there's times in life when we go through life and if we've got a little bit of pride in us, it's not nice to have the Lord humble us. Amen? I'd rather be humbled by the Lord and just get on my knees in prayer and weep to God and say, I'm sorry, Lord. You can love me some more and do it through loving, you know, people loving me. Amen? Now, Abraham had the promise granted through faith. Romans 4:17, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. In the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead. Amen? He gives life to the dead. Right now he's resurrecting my body. Right now I am believing the word of the Lord that he is the Lord of the resurrection. Amen? He went and spoke to Lazarus and he said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus did come forth. Amen? He is the power and the resurrection of our lives. And he can do resurrection inside of us, of dreams that we've dropped. He can do resurrection and hope for loved ones and lost ones who we've just given up on. We look at them and think, oh, forget it, God. Had enough of praying for that one. But he is the power of our resurrection inside of us, around us. If we stretch out and we begin to have hope and believe and dream again, he can come into those areas in our life and he can bring light in the darkness. Amen. He can give beauty for ashes. He can give the oil of joy for mourning. He gives the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Amen. We can exchange at the altar. He says, come to the altar. Oh dear. We could just open the doors and listen to him. He's on fire for God. I said, you know, this morning, you know, when you're married and, oh, you know, praying and, okay, come on, God. Don't quite know what I'm doing. I think, I've been with you long enough. The Holy Ghost will take over. Just step aside, mate. Step aside. And that's Danny on fire on six cylinders. It is very nice, isn't it? Thank you, God. Yeah, thank God I've got a six-cylinder man. Amen. He's empowered me. Okay, so I have made you a father of many nations. In the presence of him who believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things that do not exist as though they did. Who contrary... Oh, he's making me laugh now. Right, who contrary to hope and hope believed... So that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken. He shall declare your descendants be, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body being dead since it was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb past childbearing. I mean, that is a joke, isn't it? To give a promise to older people. You know, you're going to have a child, you're going to be a father of many nations. When, you know, you're a bloke beyond it, past it, that part of your life is over, you're just into companionship. You know, and the woman looks like a withered prune or something, you know? And to expect that is going to be a promise that came to pass. We need to look at the promises of God when we're standing on the promises of God. We need to look into the promises of God that came to pass, especially in the Old Testament, amen? Because they were miraculous, quite miraculous. He did not look to the impossibilities of the natural man. He did not look to the natural deadness of the current situation. He did not mock God and say, I don't believe you. That's what I did in the beginning. You know, the Lord told me, we're not doing that route, darling. We're going down the alternative route, or as in, the truth is, we're going down the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. Okay, and we're going down that path. I didn't question God, I didn't mock God. And I had the power of God's word in my mouth. And I stood on that power of God's word, amen, and I'm still standing on it. Still standing on it. This is a testimony that I'm here today. It's possibly a testimony that you're here today. But this is a testimony that I'm here today, you know. I was coming out of hospital last weekend and I quite enjoyed hospital. I enjoyed getting mothered over by these lovely nurses and I enjoyed meals getting brought to me three times a day and I enjoyed getting medication brought to me three times a day by lovely ladies who knew that what they were doing. It's absolutely wonderful because even though hubby's been off for 3 weeks and he's great, but he's a bloke. Do you know what a bloke is? Not a woman, all right? He's a bloke, and we've had to go through different things, you know, and he's had to fill out forms, and he's not used to doing that. I've spoiled him. I thought, what have you done for us in the last 30 years? You know, all the things that women do, we just do it. We pack the bags. You know, we cook the meals. He had his favourite cooking, and that was spaghetti bolognese. But I cooked the meals. I made the soups. So one night, you need to take over making the soup. And he goes, right, I said, you need to get all these ingredients from Michelle's health shop, you know, it's organic, and we need to start off with the potatoes. I said, you just need to wash and scrub the potatoes. So he pulls a potato up and he says, what, do you want me to peel them? I don't have energy for a discussion. It's not a committee meeting. You know, so all these little things that he didn't know quite what to do, and it's just making a pot of soup. And amazing, you know, and just little things where you think, woman, no, we just know we're women. And so in hospital, I loved it. I was surrounded by women who just knew. Okay, darling, okay, sweetheart, yes. And they're very gentle. So this one next door, yeah, he's braveheart, okay. So I'd have to say gentle, you know, even with your tone of voice. Our tones of voice bring healing to people, amen? We're nurturers, we're mothers. We bring healing to people. So I'd have to say to my husband, quiet him down. Well, I'm not loud. No, you are. You're loud. Quiet, I need a soothing voice. And stop poking me. And stop touching me. You know, trying to tuck you in at bed at night and accidentally, you know, touches a part that's sore. Stop it. You know, it's just being a bloke. You know, a bloke is, eh? Not a woman. Whereas a woman, we just know. We know how to gently tuck someone to bed and we soften our tones of voice. That's how we get our children to bed. You know, it's wind down time, not wind up time. You know, one time he went to read my healing scriptures to me and I said, that's enough. He was coming up with this dominant, you know, right, healing scriptures, here they are. I said, no, my Jesus is a gentleman. My Jesus is a gentleman. He's my lover. You know, I go waltzing with him. During worship, I can be waltzing with Jesus, or the two of us are riding on the back of a horse. You know, it's not a problem. It's all gentle. It's romantic. And that's not right, the way you're reading those healing scriptures. You're hurting me. You know, with the tone of voice, the brave heart, the loudness. You know, because very assertive in the spirit, okay? I said, well, you can be assertive in the spirit against the enemy, but I'm not the enemy, okay? So tone it down. So we've been on an education, and he's learnt things that he's never had to do before. And now, thank God, yay, amen, I have more brownie points. He thinks I'm wonderful. He thinks I'm just wonderful. Can I get a drink, please, Linda? How about that? So that's better? Oh, thank you. Because I don't know, I'm not like one of these musicians and they've got their plugs in their ears and all that kind of stuff. So is that better? Oh, thanks for pointing that out. We never know, eh? Anyway, so that's my darling husband, and he just thinks I'm wonderful. Now, it's great, isn't it? It's great for them to be refreshed in their love for us. Now, I've taken it up too long, eh? Is that okay? All right. We just have a different sound system in Whakatane. It's got to be right up to your mouth back there. Back there in the boondocks. But at least it's sunny and shiny. And it's near the beach and we go swimming and it's beautiful. This is a bit cold over here. Okay, so anyway. All right. Abraham simply believed despite the circumstances. So that's what I'm doing, and if I'm doing it, you can do it too. Amen? He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. We are to strengthen ourselves in faith. Amen? And that doesn't mean, you know, complaining with friends. It doesn't mean watching Coronation Street and Home and Away and Shortland Street, you know, because they are nothing to do with faith. They're the opposite. We are to strengthen ourselves on the Word of God. You know, when it's tough times, okay, the tough get going. And there are times when we have to get more into that secret place of the Most High God. There's times we have to lock ourselves away. And we have to have more time in the Word of God than we ever have before. We need more fuel. Amen? Like Star Wars, beam me up, Scotty. We need more power, more love, and more of Him in our lives. And we can only do that. I don't know if you've seen The War Room, the movie The War Room. Loved it, passionate about it. We can only do that by strengthening ourselves in the Word of God, getting the scriptures relevant to our situation. Okay, I'm using Jodi Osteen's scriptures. There's about 40 healing scriptures. And for most days, I'm using it every day, and I personalize it, and I pray over myself. You know, and being a Word of God person, people come up to me, how are you feeling? I'm not going to tell you how I'm feeling. I'm going to tell you I'm strong in the Lord and the power of His might. I'm going to tell you I'm a child of the Most High God. I'm going to tell you that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm going to tell you that I'm victorious, that I'm walking by faith and not by sight. I'm going to tell you that all things have passed away, including the things of yesterday, and all things have become new. Amen. I'm going to tell you the word of God. I'm going to tell you the truth. Perhaps the only person I'm telling how I'm feeling is my husband, because he is my other half. We are one, and he needs to know. But I'm going to keep the word of God in my mirror, in the mirror of my heart, in the mirror of my eyesight, in the mirror of my confession. Because we will rise or fall to the power of our confession. Amen? If you say, I'm weary, I can't do it, guess what? You won't. But if you turn to God and you say the word, because you know what? In the beginning was the word. The word was with God and the word was God. Jesus is called the word. He is the word. He is the Lamb of God. Amen? And he cares and loves us all equally. So we need to watch our confession. Amen? Because it will make us or break us. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. All right? Most of our problems are 1 inch below our nose, and that is our tongue, especially if we're women, because we love to talk. Amen? We've got about 40,000 words each day to get out. God knows that. And so a lot of times I'll get that out and quietly pray. I'll pray in tongues, and I'll speak the word. And then if I've got more words that I need to get out, I'll just pray again. All right? And I'm getting my words out. But our heavenly language is a mystery towards God. Amen? And it keeps my tongue out of trouble. Because if I'm praying the word and praying in tongues, I'm not moaning, complaining, criticizing, or condemning, or judging. Amen? And I'm not complaining to God either. Because he knows it anyway. What's the use of complaining? It's not going to get me anywhere. Just going to get my soul down, you know? Why are you cast down, oh my soul? Why are you discouraged within me? Hope in God. Hope in God. Hope in God. And Psalm 103 is one of my daily scriptures, which we sung. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. We need to talk to our soul. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. You know, we have got to talk to ourselves. King David did it. He talked to himself. I will praise you, Lord, for you are my God. You're the Alpha and Omega. You're the beginning and the end. You're the pearl of great price. You are the lily of the valley. He is the oasis in the desert. And I've got to spend a lot of time in his presence in the last year. A lot of time. I've loved it. I've got rejuvenated in my spirit. My character has been sorted. I had my pastor tell me that. She came around one day and she says, oh, the Lord spoke to me and said, you know, you had a bit of pride to deal with, but she was waiting for the right time to tell me until I dealt with my pride, because what would I have done? Rose up and denied it. That's pride, eh? Pride does that. Pride rises up and denies it. And if you do that, you know you're in pride. So I got to the stage, you think, God, no pride. Amen. So faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So we had to turn on all our hearing, faith hearing teachers to get me pumped up with the word. And for me and my household, that's Kenneth Hagin, that's Dr. Lisa Sumrall, all the faith teachers and teachers on healing. So I was feeding myself on the word of God. Amen? Still am. Galatians 6:9, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap not. If we do not lose heart, rejoice in the Lord while you wait. Praise him for who he is. You know, it's really funny. The Lord says, right, count it all joy when you fall into various situations. I just laugh. I say, that's really funny, isn't it, God? That's a joke, isn't it? Because sometimes it's hard to do that, isn't it? To count it all joy. It's easy counting all joy when everything's going great for you, and I love it. I love it. But when you're going through the major crises of your life, especially when it's dovetailing out of the back of menopause, which is something else, isn't it? You've got to count it all joy. I just said, Lord, why don't you just take this away? You know, get it out of my way, this menopause thing, so I can move on. He says, well, if I did it for you, I'd have to do it with every woman on the planet, and I'm not doing that, so we're not doing it for you. Okay. Because I'm zealous. You know, I'm energetic, I love the outdoors, you know, I just love all that. I love to get outdoors and have adventures. And I says, okay, menopause. Yeah, it's like an enemy, isn't it? You never mind the devil. I'm with you there. Never mind blaming the devil. Some days it's just stinking menopause, or it's our own lust of our flesh, you know, or it's not knowing the tools to maintain healing and deliverance. And then you got to have a strict root on your dietary requirements, everything. You know, self-inflicted trials, that's what our pastor in Scotland used to call them. Self-inflicted trials. We did it because of what we ate. We did it because we've been going out too many nights in a row. So, yeah, never mind the devil. We have enough to deal with our own flesh, amen? Yeah, so we're to crucify our flesh. That's our biggest enemy. We have to thank him for your promise in advance. We have to be thankful, okay? And I have to be thankful. I thank God I'm already healed. I mean, that's his promise to me. By the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. His promise to me is that I have a covenant with him. And just like the covenant he had with the children of Israel, they were never sick. And their sandals, they never ran out short with their sandals. They always grew. It's amazing. So I have a covenant with God of walking in divine health. Amen? So these are my promises, and I have to stand on those promises. And finally, the testing of your faith produces patience, doesn't it just? I can be an impatient person because of my personality, and one of my mottos in life is the Nike motto, just do it now. But I believe that we could sue Nike, because who was the first one that said that? That was the mother of Jesus. He said at that wedding, whatever he says to do, just do it. All right, so Nike has pinched that logo. Just do it. Okay, so that's me. But I needed a bit more patience. Okay, so I've got a picture now in my bathroom, and it says, perseverance. Even the snail made it aboard the ark. Amen? All made it aboard. So normally I'm the hairy, let's go, God. He won't show me too many things in advance because he knows that I'm a doer, I will go. I'm ready, I will go, you know. And hubby and I have had like international ministry prophecies prophesied over us in the last 18 months, which we knew was coming, but it's heated up. You know, pack your bags, pack your bags, pack your bags. Yeah, and you know, it's great, I love it. Getting ready for that, and we thank God we nearly shoved out the nest. What I didn't know was, you know, this has been a year and a half, pack your bag, you're going to the hospital. I didn't know that part. So, you know, from the promise, just like everyone, Joseph, he received a dream, woohoo, woohoo, you know, opened his big fat mouth and next minute he's in a pit. But he ended up in the palace, didn't he? Moses, the promise, you're going to save your people. And he kills someone. No, not that way, my son. Come out to the desert, you've got to do a little bit of training. And have your pride and your attitude sorted, and you've got to slow down. It's going to be my way, not your way. Amen? How many of you have said that? Come on, Lord, and the Lord says, and you start off, you know, and where are you, Lord? Well, you're not doing what I told you to do. Come back here. Come back here. Now, are you listening to me? Yeah. Really? Yeah, well, I want you to go this way. I don't want to go that way. Well, that's the way I've chosen. Pack a sad. You have to be so humble. And I got a word from the Lord. It was a vision three weeks ago. I was like hunting like a sniper, because I'm also an intercessor, so I love to pray. And I was hunting beside a rock, and a man of God who loves hunting as well, I won't name him. Anyway, he came beside me, and he whispered, he said, go low. And then I got the picture, you know, there's soldiers in training and they have to train going low under the barbed wire so they can go low so they're out of the enemy's sight. So I would go low, I understand it now. I mean, I've just been so, you know, just going really quiet and slow and low in the last 3 weeks. And that's what God had said, you know. He didn't mean like, go low, you're going to get really sick, Trace. He didn't mean that. He just meant go low. And I knew I was covered from the enemy at that time through the prayers of the saints and even the ones I didn't even know was praying for me. You know, we've got prayer by our pastor in Scotland, and beautiful, covered by the prayers of saints so that I don't have to do that warfare against the enemy. And the warfare is not offensive, defensive, it's offensive. Like in the war room, you know, you're not coming. You're not coming near this house site. It's covered in the blood of Jesus. Okay, it's always to be offensive. So you're not like, look around, where is he, where is he? I don't care where he is. I care, where are you, Jesus? What are you doing, Jesus? What are you doing, Holy Spirit? I want to get on that bandwagon, amen? So James 1:2, my brethren, count all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience and it have its perfect work, that you may be perfectly mature, lacking nothing. So I'm going to finish there. But I know this morning the Lord wants to do some ministry here in this room, personal ministry. So I'm going to hand it over to Linda for that part of the session, and I hope you enjoy your afternoon, your evening. Amen.